There's a presidential election coming up in Russia, but there's little doubt about what the result will be. That's just one of the big stories in the coming days on the international stage. With me for our weekly look ahead to the next week is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, let's start in Russia. What can we expect to come out of this election?
So, Mark, we've got elections on Sunday, March the 18th. And of course, President Vladimir Putin has dominated Russian politics for almost two decades. Over successive terms as president and prime minister, he's overseen an economic boom, military expansion, the re-establishment of Russia as a major power. A lot is going for Putin, if you like. And he's expected to win in a landslide, due in part to there being no viable opposition. Let's just look at the foreign stage for a moment. Remember his support for Assad in Syria, his annexation of Crimea, and the war in eastern Ukraine. On that last note, our Moscow correspondent Sarah Rainsford, ahead of these elections, travelled south to an area close to the border with Ukraine and spoke to this Russian volunteer who went to fight there.
Alexander Rostovsky went too, one of thousands of volunteer fighters. In his office, beneath a framed picture of Vladimir Putin, Alexander insists he went to Ukraine to protect Russian speakers there and that the uprising in Kiev was a coup backed by the West. Views that once sounded radical are now mainstream here.
Which is interesting, Mark. There's a guy who goes to fight for Russia in Ukraine, and he says he's doing so really because it's a defensive gesture against the West. The West is fomenting trouble against Russia. And it's that kind of sentiment about the West that is feeding into this election that we're going to see on Sunday. It's one reason why Putin is expected to win a landslide.
Rob, let's move to the Netherlands now, where we're seeing a trial basically dealing with so-called fake news. What's at stake here?
Very interesting. It's a trial on Wednesday in the Netherlands, as you say, but a little bit of history first. 3 years ago, the authorities here in Europe set up a task force to combat fake news, primarily aimed at Russia. That's something I don't need to tell you about. You'll know all about that. But this task force had other targets too, including three Dutch publishers. It branded stories that they ran as fake news. The publishers disputed this allegation, and they're now taking the European authorities to court, saying the way they've been characterized or represented is unfair. So that case we're looking forward to on Wednesday. And interestingly, our reporter in the Netherlands says these three outlets have the support of many Dutch lawmakers.
Geen Stijl, which means no style, and the other two often sensationalist sites found unlikely allies in the very politicians who are often the target of their satire. A majority of MPs in the Netherlands are calling on the Dutch Home Affairs Minister, Kasia Ollongren, to put pressure on the EU to disband this task force on the basis they say it's an institution meddling with the free Dutch press.
And Mark, that's Anna Holligan in the Netherlands, our reporter. Quick footnote, the European Commission says the three stories at the centre of all this are not anymore included on their fake news database. So it looks like the Commission might be stepping down or standing back from this one. But we'll see as we look ahead to that court case later in the week.
An important anniversary this week, Rob. This week marks 50 years since the so-called My Lai massacre in Vietnam. How is that being commemorated in that country?
Indeed, 50th anniversary is Friday of this week. Well, 26 U.S. soldiers, for those who don't recall, were charged with criminal offenses after this massacre. One of them was convicted. 50 years on, there's still a raw memory there in Vietnam. The event is being remembered there this week, several official events taking place. Now, we spoke to our colleague Phung Ngo at the BBC's Vietnamese service to describe what they are.
The local government is going to inaugurate My Lai Peace Park. The whole area is going to be developed more than 41 hectares. The total investment is nearly $15 million.
So that's something that happened 50 years ago, but as you can see, it's something that's still being commemorated. Interesting that there was a big US warship in a Vietnamese port last week, but this event, looking back 50 years, has been commemorated this week, just showing you the two sides, if you like, of recent US-Vietnamese relations.
And finally this morning, Rob, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis will be in the Middle East, and one country he'll be visiting is Bahrain. Why is that of particular interest?
Well, let's look at this one quickly, because Bahrain's a small country. It's only 1.4 million, an island kingdom in the middle of the Persian Gulf. What's kind of interesting about it is, A, it is hosting the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet. It's a strategic important to the United States and has been for a long time. But the other thing is that it supports Saudi Arabia on most things. And Saudi has picked a fight with Qatar, one of the Persian Gulf countries, and Bahrain is going along with that fight. So they are trying to isolate Qatar and have been for some time because they accuse Qatar of fomenting and supporting terrorism in the region. This is something that Trump supported for a while. He doesn't now. And that is why Mattis is in part going to Bahrain to say, hey, cool it, stop having a go at Qatar. We want to be friends with Qatar too, and we want unity in the Persian Gulf. Take a listen to our analyst, Sebastian Usher.
Part of his message to Bahrain is try to sort this out. Gulf unity is absolutely essential for the region, and a dispute like this only causes unnecessary problems.
So there you go, Mark. He's going to a small country, something that wouldn't make news normally, but that's a kind of key and interesting reason why he's going to Bahrain later this week.
All right, that's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, good to talk to you as always. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.